Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I am yours truly, attorney Todd L. Levitt, joined once again by my talented co-host, Nikki Morissette, who's on the board, and my law clerk, Tyler B. Webb. Tyler, welcome back to the show.
It's a pleasure to be back, Todd. Thanks for having me.
It's great having you on the show week to week, and we have a huge show we're going to do today for the listeners. We've been promoting this all week long.
I would say it's our biggest show to date. Although we say that every time, we mean it this time.
We do say it every time. And if you want to catch any of our past shows, I can't say it enough. You can catch us on iTunes, Podbean, or SoundCloud. It is free. Just type in the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. And before we introduce Representative Irwin, Jeff Irwin out of Ann Arbor, I want to just say this show is dedicated to Natalie Irene Wilds. Young Miss Irene Natalie Wilds tragically drowned Memorial Day weekend, and there's a huge benefit today, Sunday, at the North Shore Lounge, and it goes from 1 to 5 p.m. It's $6 a plate. There's a 50-50 tickets and a silent auction, so we want to dedicate this to the memory of Natalie Wilds. I know her grandmother, Cindy. She's a great lady, and our thoughts and prayers go out to her siblings, her family, and everyone that loves her. So I just want to state that before we start the show, Tyler.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. It's very sad, and I hope to see you guys there.
Yep. Also, Nikki, I was in Traverse City District Court last week. I want to give a big shout-out to Judge Stepka. Great judge, great courtroom, great staff. Pam Blue, his assistant. You know, it's such a pleasure when you travel to courts outside of your normal area, and you get to meet such honorable judges and people who work within the court system. And can't say enough about Judge Stepka. Great man, great court. So Traverse City, big shout out to TC. But hey, let's introduce, so we can get him on the show right away, Representative Jeff Irwin. Representative Irwin, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's just an honor to have you on. Last week we had Brandon McQueen on and attorney Barton Morris, and we talked about, well, we want to first talk a little bit about you, and then we want to talk about what happened with these petitions and what the governor did and other members of the House and Senate to block the People's Initiative. But tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you born and raised?
Sure. Well, I'm originally from Northern Michigan. I was born at Petoskey General Hospital, but my family lived in Sault Ste. Marie. So my mom and dad lived in the Sioux. My mother made the decision to drive down to Petoskey in labor, which must have been harrowing. And I was born there, but lived the first, 6 or 7 years up in the Sioux, and then moved down to the Lansing area, went to high school there in that region, and then came over to Ann Arbor to go to the University of Michigan and study political science and maybe pursue a career in the law. And I got misdirected and waylaid by public office. I ran for the office of county commissioner when I was an undergraduate, and I kind of figured, well, what do I have to lose? I'll run for local office. And then I won, and I discovered what I had to lose, which was primarily nights and weekends.
Okay, that's outstanding. And
that was Washington. Here I am. You know, we did that job for 11 years, and now I've been a state rep for 5.5 years.
And that's the 53rd district out of Ann Arbor. Is it also Saline, and what other towns, cities?
No, it's all within Ann Arbor. Each okay. state representative represents about 90,000 people, and Ann Arbor is about $1.15. So my entire district is contained within the city of Ann Arbor.
Oh, well, wow.
And Representative Irwin, I just want to say this on behalf of the listeners and myself and Tyler and the show, that you literally are considered the one elected official, whether it be at any level in the state of Michigan, who actually took office and did what you said you were going to do and then literally represented the interests of the people, because everybody, and I'm speaking from the UP where I practice to Mount Pleasant, I can speak for everyone. You are the people really appreciate everything you've done in office and continue to do, not just for the issue of legalization of marijuana, but
the issue, you know, of any type of citizen initiatives or, you know, the election in general, you know.
But Rep. Irwin, you're also very interested in conservation.
The Great Lakes, equal opportunity, higher education, all those kinds of things.
So can you briefly, you're in your third term of office, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And there are term limits. That's also true.
That is also true. So I'm in my third and final term in the Michigan House of Representatives. Many years ago, we passed a mandatory inexperience law that is sometimes colloquially referred to as a term limit. And so each of us that are elected to the House of Representatives can serve a maximum of 6 years, and then we can't run anymore. So that situation I'm in, I am serving my third and final term, and you know, I can just say to the people of Ann Arbor and the people of Michigan, you know, thank you for the opportunity. I've learned a tremendous amount, and I hope that the work I've put in has been equal to, you know, what the citizens deserve, and you know, it's been a real great experience. So I don't think our term limit law tends to lead to a better outcome for the people, but you know, that's what we have here in Michigan. And although I'm being termed out of office, the other side of that coin is I probably wouldn't have had the opportunities I had when I had them if it weren't for the fact that those who came before me were termed out as well.
Yeah.
I'm termed out of my seat, and there's going to be an open race to replace me, and I'm hopeful that the individuals who follow me into the office will continue with some of the work that I've been doing on that wide range of issues that the people of Ann Arbor find important. I mean, obviously, the education system that we have here in Michigan is the biggest investment that we're making in our future prosperity. The K-12 system, hiring and retaining great teachers, keeping class sizes down, and making sure that higher education is an opportunity that's available to the broadest possible range of people who are smart and capable and hardworking and ready to put it to use. You know, those are the top priorities. But of course, when I got elected back in 2010, I did know that one of our other big priorities in the state of Michigan is criminal justice reform. We have a system right now where we are aggressively prosecuting the war on drugs, and it's a war on our own people, and it has to stop.
Yeah,
and I knew that when I got elected, that was one thing that I had to raise my hand and stand up for and say, look, this approach that we're using, it's not successful. It's tremendously damaging. It's un-American, and we have to stop it.
Yeah, you know, as a criminal defense attorney of 22 years, it saddens me that the people, and I would say, and I can say the majority of people in the state want marijuana to be legalized. And I represent so many individuals who are caught, Rep. Irwin, with just a gram or less, and now they're stuck in the system. They're spending thousands of dollars on court fines and classes. And this random drug testing is something I always complain about on the show. But let's go back, if I could, to the MMMA, the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act. How did that finally come about? Because, you know, can you talk a little bit about that, how it finally came to fruition?
You mean back in 08?
Correct, yes.
Yeah, so, well, you know, a group of energized citizens, you know, very much like with the group that propelled MI Legalized forward, you know, got together and said, you know, we need to have a medical marijuana law here in Michigan. And they worked with some national groups that had been successful in promoting medical marijuana initiatives in other states. And they put together a citizen initiative, got the necessary signatures, put on the ballot, and it passed overwhelmingly, almost 2-1. It was successful in every county in Michigan. And as a result, we got the Michigan Medical Marijuana Program. You know, ever since then, the legislature has been poking small holes into the Medical Marijuana Act, weakening the protections for patients and caregivers. And the courts have also really done a number on the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act. The McQueen decision was, I think, one of the monumental points at which the Supreme Court said that they weren't going to allow a distribution model to be created under the terms of the current Michigan Medical Marijuana Act. There was the Carruthers decision where the State Court of Appeals, you know, against all reason and good sense and the plain language of the law, said that concentrates were not going to be protected by the act. And the legislature is currently debating a number of bills that would, for the most part, diminish the rights and protections afforded to caregivers and patients under the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act.
No, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I was just going to say, I have seen, you know, the act just interpreted and just torn apart at every level, as you said, Court of Appeals, Supreme Court, and so on and so forth. Hey, if you're just tuning in, we're speaking to House Representative Jeff Irwin out of the 53rd District of Ann Arbor, and we're honored to have Rep. Irwin on the show. We're talking about the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act and how it's just been destroyed and torn apart. And I would say, Rep. Irwin, that, you know, the will of the people has been destroyed by, you know, the majority spoke, and the will of the people is still being tugged along by the minority, you know, the minority of the individuals who do not want to relinquish control over the court systems, the laws. This is just my opinion as a defense attorney and as a citizen. It's just ridiculous. And now we have to go to break, but when we come back, Tyler, my law clerk, and I would like to talk to you about House Bill 776 and what the governor signed to try to block the initiative of the people, Am I Legalized, and all the signatures to put it on the ballot in November. So can you stick around for one more segment?
Absolutely.
That'd be great. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Hey, if you're just tuning in for the first time, you're missing a huge show today. We have, who's on, Tyler?
Oh, we have State Representative Jeff Irwin from the 53rd District of Ann Arbor on with us. It's been a great show so far.
Yeah, and be sure to catch it on iTunes, Podbean, or SoundCloud, and share it with your friends. So you had a question for our state
rep? Yeah, Rep. Irwin, can you talk a little bit about the recent House Bill 776 that has to deal with petitions and citizens' initiatives and kind of what the thought process was in Lansing and why that got passed?
Yeah, I'm happy to do that. I'll do my best. But let me just take a quick step back to the last segment and just say that you invited me on the show and very graciously said that I was a champion for the community of folks who want to end cannabis prohibition. I appreciate that, and I thank you for that. But I do want to say that there's probably a lot of your listeners there who have done just as much or more to take the bricks out of this wall of cannabis prohibition. I know that there's a ton of activists all over the state who've pushed back, who've gotten signatures for Am I Legalized, who got medical marijuana initiative on the ballot back in 08, people who put their time and money into these efforts, and I really appreciate those folks as well, in addition to the activists up in Otsego County who are trying to push on this issue of whether or not patients should be able to have safe and legal access. And they have really stood up to their local prosecutor who said that they don't think patients should have safe and legal access. So I just want to give a thank you to your listeners and the folks who have been out there talking about this with their friends and family, talking about it with their local politicians, and trying to push for a better outcome for the people.
But I just want to
thank you for that opportunity.
You're more than welcome. I just want to say, because I don't want to talk, I want you to talk, because that's why people are tuning in today. But you literally, people consider you to be that one elected official who represents the people, not just in the 53rd district, as I said earlier, but all over the state of Michigan. And, you know, people are very down and politicians have a very negative image, but you have literally brought so much hope and to so many people throughout the state of Michigan. And on my behalf as a citizen and Tyler's and everyone I know, I can't thank you enough for what you have done. And please look up what House Representative Jeff Irwin has done for the people of the state of Michigan, because it has been huge. So go ahead, Tyler.
I was going to say, and his office got right back with us when we were we were reaching out to plenty of House
representatives.
Yeah, we were reaching out. I mean, I called 25 to 30 representatives and senators across the state, And some of them declined on the spot. Some said they would get back to me. None of them did, but your office did. And that's a big deal.
You're the only office.
Right. I mean, we wanted to hear, you know, we wanted to hear what you guys were thinking and, you know, what the thought process was of the legislators, because you guys are the voice of the people. And we're very thankful that you guys got back to us. That's a big, big deal.
Well, and likewise, and thanks for giving me the opportunity. Obviously, I'm comfortable talking about these issues, and as a result, I try to take opportunities to do so. So let's get back to Senate Bill 776, and to take you on a little bit of a journey through history, Michigan's Constitution dates from 1963. We've had the right of citizen initiative since, I believe, the 1908 Constitution. You can look at up there in the Constitution and see what it says. It's pretty clear that citizens have the right to change a law if they get a sufficient number of signatures. Back in the 70s, the legislature passed a law that said that you had 180 days to gather those signatures, but that you could also rehabilitate older signatures if you could demonstrate that the voters were registered when they signed and were still registered during the 180-day window. And for 20 or 30 years, no one used that policy to rehabilitate older signatures because it was just expensive and onerous and time-consuming to go and prove that these people were registered when they signed, because that required you to go get an affidavit from every local clerk in the state of Michigan. It was just very onerous. But what happened was, is last fall, Jeff Hank, who's an attorney who runs the MI Legalize campaign, realized, you know, this language in the law and realized this opportunity to rehabilitate older signatures and thought, you know, this might be important for my initiative, because MI Legalize has been a very grassroots group. It's hard to generate that many signatures in a short period of time. And so Mr. Hanks thought, look, this might be an opportunity to rehabilitate some of these older signatures we have that we know are valid, but are just outside of the 180-day window. So he went to the Board of Canvassers, learned what the policy was, and he pointed out to them that, hey, you know, maybe this policy should change. It's unnecessarily onerous. And couldn't we just use the qualified voter file that we now have to validate whether or not these signers were valid signers when they signed? You know, this is all computerized now. Let's use the modern technology to effectuate the citizen's voice. What happened was is that the Board of Canvassers staff, the Bureau of Elections, basically said, you know, this guy's right. We're going to recommend a change to the policy, and we're going to recommend that you just use the computer files to demonstrate when people were registered and whether they were validly registered when they signed. Unfortunately, though, that recommendation from the staff of the Board of Elections has to be approved by the Board of State Canvassers, which is a four-member body, two Democrats and two Republicans. And when they met to discuss this matter, they deadlocked 2-2, the two Republicans opposing better access to the ballot and the two Democrats supporting it. But what also happened at the same time is that as soon as Jeff Hank raised this flag last fall and said, hey, look, this policy should be updated, the oil and gas industry got very, very concerned, because there's another group out there trying to get signatures to put something on the ballot, which is the Committee to Ban Fracking in Michigan. And they had a hard time getting the necessary number of signatures in the 180-day window because it's expensive and time-consuming, very difficult. If you've never gotten 100 signatures on a petition, you have no idea how hard it is to get 253,000 ballot signatures. So the oil and gas industry saw this as a real threat. Like, oh gosh, if it becomes easier to rehabilitate these older signatures, the citizens might get an opportunity to vote on fracking, and that would be very bad for our companies and our shareholders. So they went out there and they enlisted Senator Robertson to introduce a bill that would change the law, change the rules in the middle of the game, to say that ballot committees would only have 180 days, period, no opportunity to rehabilitate the older signatures. That bill was introduced and passed very quickly out of the Senate. I mean, it was introduced and passed within a couple of weeks. And then it came over to the House. We spent a little bit more time on it in the House, and I do sit on the Elections Committee, and we debated the issue considerably in the Elections Committee, but eventually it was finally passed by the House and signed by the governor. Now, I think the question that was asked initially before I went on this long rant about the history of ballot access in Michigan was, you know, why would representatives not want to maintain or enhance the access that citizens have to the ballot? And, well, there's a couple of answers to that, but none of them are particularly happy, right? One of them is that they just simply don't support direct democracy and ballot access for citizens, right? I mean, it's not hard to imagine that the elected officials, the ones who are sitting there pressing the yes and no button on whether a bill becomes a law, it's not surprising to think that they might want to shut the citizens out of that process and may want to collect that power in Lansing. And you can also understand that the special interest groups, the same special interest groups that benefit greatly from term limits and from a lack of education and capacity within the actual legislative body, those same groups don't want the citizens to be able to go around the legislature that they have paid good money for. So, you know, that's what happened in Lansing, and the access that the citizens have to hold our government accountable has been diminished, and now it may have an impact on the Michigan Legalize campaign.
Yeah, my understanding is, and we talked about this over the last few weeks, is that MI Legalized turned in all the signatures, and then the governor, was it a week or so later, signed that bill? Is that correct?
Yes.
So my opinion, the first thing I thought as an attorney is, well, that's fine. It's, you know, the signatures, the old way, it's grandfathered in, and, you know, that doesn't affect MI Legalized. And a lawsuit has, I spoke to Matt Abel last week, and he said that a lawsuit has been filed against, I think, is it the Board of Canvassers? Is that who it's against? It's obviously the state of Michigan, but the Board of Canvassers.
Yeah, I think it may be both. Okay. I'm not entirely sure.
I think
on that
Tyler has that.
I think
Tyler.
It's the Board of Canvassers.
Who's that against, Tyler?
Yeah, it says the Board of Canvassers, and I think it said the Election Board or something like that.
Bureau of Elections.
Yes,
probably.
That's who it was as well. Yep. Which I think is very interesting. And it says, you know, they have a chance to not only change, you know, marijuana law in a better place, but also leave election law in a better place.
That's what MI Legalized was trying to do.
Right. Absolutely.
But then what? What Rep Irwin is saying, and then the pro fracking lobbyist saw this as an opportunity to put their money and interest behind certain elected officials to sort of put a kibosh, so to speak, on the time period in which you can gather signatures to prevent that from going on the ballot. And I got to tell you, Rep Irwin, the people all over the state, because we hear from the listeners, as you know, because you're an elected official too, are just furious over this. I mean, it's just there, as you said earlier in the segment, there are so many men and women, in addition to yourself, who have, you know, walked the walk, who have hit the pavement, who have taken the time out of their busy schedules, you know, away from their children, their husbands, their wives, to get the signatures, because this is what the people want. And by no means should any elected official get in the way. And you are not one of them. You're actually that one elected official who has literally tried to take down the wall here and allow for the citizens' voice to be heard and for this law to be passed. So my opinion is...
Well, one thing I would add is that I know you've got a lot of listeners in northern Michigan, and northern Michigan tends to send Republicans to Lansing. And I know, because I've done a lot of campaigning up there, that these same Republicans who are sent to Lansing often campaign on small government and conservative values and power to the people and let's not... you know, have government here controlling your lives, and then they turn around and go to Lansing and vote for just the opposite, right? Here was an opportunity that was as clear as it gets to say, do you want to vest the power in the people, or do you want to vest the power in Lansing and the special interests that control it? And they voted for big government. They voted for, you know, the decision that would vest power in Lansing, and that was one of the reasons why, you know, I was hopeful that we might have been able to stop this bill in the House, because there are some conservatives who come with a real zeal for the Constitution and a real belief in small government. And I was hoping that we could, you know, use that philosophy that they campaigned so easily on to stop this bill. But unfortunately, it didn't happen.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Legally speaking, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I was a political science major at CMU, Fire Up Chips, although I'm a big fan of Go Blue, baby.
Oh, yeah. Harbaugh.
But it always seems that, you know, and it's fair to say on both sides, Democrats and Republicans, you get these young men and women who get elected to office and they just toe the party line. They don't have seniority. And so they just toe the line and they vote right along party lines. Was this voted along party lines to block the people's initiative?
Almost. There were a handful of Republicans that voted in opposition, and for a couple different reasons. One, just the sort of philosophical reasons that I've stated around, you know, do you want the people to have more power over their government? There was a few who voted on it, against it based on that. And there's a couple folks who voted against it because they didn't think it was fair to change the rules in the middle of the game. And so, for instance, in committee, there was an amendment that was added to the bill to say that the bill wouldn't actually take effect until the next electoral cycle. And there were a couple of the Republicans who voted against it because they just felt it was really fundamentally unfair that people had gone out there and spent time and money and effort getting signatures, and then they were going to change the rules at the 11th hour. That just didn't strike them as fair play, and so they voted against it. Because what happened was we put that amendment on in committee, but then when the bill got to the floor, that amendment was stricken without a vote, and the leadership saw fit to eliminate that that provision and move the bill forward without the effective date that would, sequence it until after this electoral season. So the opposition came from a couple of different angles, and I would say that from the legal standpoint, and I'm not an attorney, but what it seems to me Michigan Legalize is trying to do is that they actually have a nested argument here. The first order of business is that Michigan Legalize is making the argument that the legislature cannot put a time limit on the petition gathering time frame per the Constitution. They're arguing that these time limits are just unconstitutional at all. And it's actually a pretty good argument, one that our former Attorney General Frank Kelly made in an opinion back in the 70s, shortly after the original law was passed. It's backed up by the language in the state constitution, which doesn't seem to give the legislature the authority to limit the petitioning time frame. And so that's their first argument. If they're unsuccessful with that, then they get to the argument that we were just talking about, which is, should this law affect them given when it was signed and the circumstances around its passage? Because there's another little element of Michigan constitutional malpractice in the Michigan House of Representatives that comes into play here, which is, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the whole argument around immediate effect, but that's another layer to the argument that Michigan Legalize has, which is, in a nutshell, that the House applied immediate effect to the bill erroneously or fraudulently, I guess is probably a more straightforward way to put it.
Sure, sure. Hey, as promised, listeners, you're tuned in to the Todd Levitt Law Show featuring my co-host, Nikki Morissette, and Tyler Webb, my law clerk, senior law clerk at Levitt Law Firm. And we're honored to have and to be speaking with House Representative Jeff Irwin from the 53rd District Court. We all refer to Rep. Irwin as the people's rep representative because everything he has done in office over the last three terms has literally, folks, and look it up, look up his record, has been for you. And I'm not here to stroke, you know, Rep. Irwin's ego for my own benefit. We are just honored, Rep. Irwin, to have you on the show. I mean, we have to go to a quick break, and but we'd love to have you on for another segment here. Is that okay? Okay, we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Hey, if you're just tuning in for the first time, what took you so long? We've been on for years, and we hope you're always tuned into 98.5 WUPS, not just for our show every Sunday morning from 9 to 10 a.m., but all the shows on 98.5 UPS. And you could also catch this show, if you just tuned in, and all our other shows on podcast. And we're trending pretty high, Tyler.
Oh, yeah. We're doing well on iTunes, and we're also on Podbean, SoundCloud. So check us out there if you missed the show or want to see any of our previous shows. We're definitely on there.
And we've dedicated this show to the memory of that sweet young lady, Natalie Irene Wilds, who passed away Memorial Day weekend. There's a big benefit this afternoon going on at the North Shore Lounge. Please show up from 1 to 5 p.m. There's a luncheon, silent auction. So definitely our thoughts and prayers go out to her family.
Yes, it's very sad.
But Tyler, who are we talking with?
Oh, we're talking with State Representative Jeff Irwin out of the 53rd District of Ann Arbor. And it's a pleasure to have you on. We've had you on the last two segments.
Pleasure to be on.
Yeah, absolutely.
These are important issues. And as you said at the beginning, there are thousands of people here in Michigan who are having their lives turned upside down and being ground up in the criminal justice system, and not only do we ruin their lives for something as victimless as smoking cannabis, but we all get to pay for it as well, and it's something that has to stop. So thanks for the opportunity to talk about it.
And it's not, you know, it's in the cardholders themselves, and you know this, both the caregivers and the patients have also paid the price because they're still, you know, being accused of doing things outside of the act that, and it forces us attorneys to file motions under, you know, for affirmative defenses under Section 4, under Section 8. I mean, it's cost the citizens and their families and loved ones so much money and heartache. And it's what, and the sad thing is, Rep Irwin, is it's what the people wanted. And I still say this, and I'll say it again and again, it's the minority trying to hold on to control of the majority. And that, and that's just my opinion, not the opinion of our sponsors or the radio show or anybody else, just my opinion. But during break,
that's true. I think it's certainly true. And the other unfortunate truth is that we have done so little to support our public safety institutions that our police departments across the state have become too reliant on the revenues that they get from asset forfeiture. And medical marijuana has unfortunately become one of the places where police agencies look to try to make their budget whole. And that's another disgusting practice that has to stop. And we need to support our public safety agencies at the level that, that provides them the resources to pay the officers to be on the street. And we shouldn't expect them to turn citizens upside down, take patients and caregivers and rob them of their money in order to make their budget balance.
Agreed, 100%. And this is a very pro-law, albeit I'm a defense attorney, and I'm a very pro-law enforcement individual because obviously they put their lives on the line. But, you know, the laws have to change and the people want them to change. We were talking during break about some of the bills that are being talked about or going around in committee. Can you talk about what's going on in the House and Senate right now?
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, I'll just mention briefly that I introduced House Bill 4877, which would legalize cannabis for adult use in Michigan. I don't expect that it's going to be passed. I would be surprised if we even got a hearing on it. But I can tell you that the work around the Am I Legalized ballot proposal has really accelerated the types of discussions and the quantity of discussions that are happening among lawmakers about legalizing cannabis, how to do it, what's the right methodology. And one of the discussions that has been moving forward recently and where there's been a lot of back and forth has been around the idea of how could we change the way we regulate medical marijuana in Michigan. And some of my Republican colleagues have even stated, I think Mike Colton was one that went on record saying that the new methodology for regulating dispensaries as contemplated by these laws would be a good model for regulating the adult use market if that becomes legal. But having said that as a preamble, there are a package of bills related to medical marijuana that have passed the House and are over in the Senate. There was a lot of chatter that those might get voted on a couple weeks ago, but that didn't happen. And what those bills are House Bill 4209 and House Bill 4210 and another bill, I believe it's 4827. And what those three bills do together are a few different things. They create the legal opportunity for people to go out and get licensed medical marijuana businesses. And that would be in the area of cultivation, in the area of processing, in the area of distribution, and in the area of retail sales. And each of those different levels have licenses that are contemplated in House Bill 4209. Fees associated with those licenses, stipulations associated with those licenses, and stipulations associated with the practice of the business. So let me just give you one example of a stipulation that is in 4209 that may be fairly obvious to folks, which is that if you want to get a retail license to open up a dispensary or a provisioning center, you'd have to get approved by the State Department. And one of the things you'd have to do is you'd have to label all your products and have all of your product tested by an accredited testing lab. So that's an example of the types of regulations that are being contemplated in 4209, House Bill 4209, which is the main bill that would seek to regulate access points for patients and caregivers. Although I shouldn't say caregivers, because the reality is that everything that's been put into House Bill 4209 is seeking to cut caregivers out of the market of providing to the medical marijuana dispensaries.
And the people don't want that.
Require medical marijuana dispensaries to buy their products from licensed cultivators, which are also created under the same bill.
Rep. Irwin, if I may, and I apologize for interrupting you, the citizens, as you know, because you're an elected official out of the 53rd District, and that's who we're speaking with, folks, Jeff Irwin out of the 53rd District, Ann Arbor, Michigan. But that's what everybody's concerned about, that the caregivers are going to lose the right to be caregivers. And then the other issue is, in regard to retail sales under 4209, you know, who's going to get the right to open the retail business in each and every community? Is it going to be the friends of the power brokers of that small community? Is it going to be the friends of the elected officials? Who's going to have the opportunity to open those retail sale businesses? I mean, is 4209 or is the government going to allow, you know, 20 retail businesses to open up on a 2-block, you know, area? So those are some of the questions that the general public is asking, at least myself.
And the answers to most of those questions remain to be seen. If you look at the language in 4209, you can see right there the stipulations that are being contemplated at the legislative level. But one of the stipulations that's going to have a big impact on the questions that you're asking is that in the bills as they're currently written, local units of government have the ability to reject any sort of cannabis-related businesses if they choose to do so. So in order for you to get a license from the state to run your dispensary or your cultivation center, just for instance, you would have to have a plan, your business plan, that satisfied local zoning and other ordinance restrictions. So you have to be able to demonstrate to the state that your city or your township is going to allow this facility to operate. So in other words, there's a local opt-out.
But here's
now whether or not local units of government are going to use that to try to benefit friends or family, or if there's going to be some sort of vector for nepotism to enter into the system, I would suppose that it would either be there or at the level of discretion that the state licensing department will have.
Or
we're trying to take some steps within the bill to address that, but it's hard to completely beat that out.
Or if the state allows for a license, yet it's obvious as an attorney, and you don't have to be an attorney, you have to comply if you want to open up any retail business with all the local ordinances, signs, you know, footage, inspections. You have to follow all of the federal rules in regards to disability and although the OSHA, all those issues. But my concern on behalf of the people is that so the state allows for this, but you have these communities where maybe one of the local elected officials doesn't like the last name of the person who was approved by the state. And so they're going to do everything he or she can. And that's just politics. It happens every day. It happens all over the country, all over the world. They're going to do everything they can to make it hard for that local individual to open up that retail business. And so that's my concern as an attorney, as in a citizen. And I don't think you can prevent that because it happens all over the place all the time where you have these local communities. Everyone grew up together. One person takes a position of power, and now they're trying to prevent the other individual who has that last family name from, you know, ever prospering in that community. And so I'm against that. But again, you know.
Yeah. Those things are a challenge across the board with, you know, licensure at the state level and with local zoning. And, you know, we're just going to have to be vigilant to try to make sure that doesn't happen. But certainly that's a concern I share and one that we've tried to address in the bills. Now, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm promoting these bills. I'm just trying to explain to you what's in them. And but certainly in the debate around these bills, a number of us have indicated that we need to take steps to try to prevent that from happening. One of the ways that we hope to prevent that from happening is by creating a revenue sharing model within the bill that says that, you know, the revenues that are generated from these facilities are going to be shared with the communities that allow them in. So that does at least provide some small incentive for communities to say yes to licensed medical marijuana facilities rather than no. But there, you know, these are big bills, and there's a lot of moving parts. And you know, whether or not caregivers are going to be able to secure cultivation licenses is a big question, right? I think many of them will seek to. And they get a bit of a leg up because in the current version of House Bill 4209, it says that in order to get a cultivation license in Michigan, you have to either have been a caregiver or have someone as part of your business who's been a caregiver for at least 2 years.
Wow, so, that's great information.
Right? Yeah, interesting.
Wow. All these provisions are being debated on right now, and you know, there's a lot of back and forth, and who knows how they're going to finally end up. Another one of the provisions that I fought for in the House was to put a cap on the cost of the cultivation licenses, because I was very concerned about what happened in Illinois, where they authorized the medical marijuana system, but it is so overwrought with regulation and additional unnecessary security theater that they ended up charging, I think it was $150,000 for the license to grow medical marijuana in Illinois.
That's extortion.
We don't want that kind of situation here in Michigan. We want a situation where people can get into the business, and at the end of the day, the producers who are creating the best product at the lowest price are going to be the ones who end up getting a greater market share. That's the way it's probably going to work out, and that's probably the way it should work out. And so, you know, I talk to a lot of folks in the cannabis advocacy community. Some of them are very concerned about, you know, big companies coming in and taking over this business. And, you know, I'm not sure if that's going to happen or not. Will it go the way of, you know, Anheuser-Busch and Miller Lite, or will it go the way of Shorts and, you know, Bells? It's hard to say. And frankly, I'm not sure that the legislature should, you know, try to stipulate that outcome. I think that is an acceptable place for market forces to work their magic. And, you know, if we create a system where it's a fair licensure system, where people can get licenses, they're not too hard to obtain, but there is sort of a minimal level of performance where people are providing safe quality product, I think that's the framework we need in order for the program to be successful going forward.
Yeah,
that's absolutely necessary. Yeah. I agree.
I want to also point out, this was interesting, last week on LinkedIn, of all places, that I'm a member of, I have to follow Rep Irwin.
Oh, I would, yeah, that would be a great person for me to follow.
But
college application there.
One of Michigan's or the Midwest's largest law firms, I won't mention the name because I would have to double check my sources, but, you know, Honigman Miller Dyke McGossick, one of those two firms has announced a division that will be assisting with the business of cannabis. So when that law firm starts to do something like that, that tells me that things are moving in the right direction. But yet, if they're getting into it, it could be the wrong direction because, you know, then there's a lot of big corporations that are also, you know, that are interested in getting involved, as we know. But, hey, we have to go to break. Can we just have you for one more segment, Rep. Irwin? Is that possible? Do you have a little bit more time, or we have one more to go?
Let's do the last one.
That's outstanding. Awesome. Hey, we'll be right back with 53rd District State Rep. Jeff Irwin right after this break. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Hey, if you're just tuning in, we're speaking to 53rd District House of Representatives, Jeff Irwin out of Ann Arbor, Michigan. And Rep. Irwin, we appreciate you taking the time to be on this show, because this show is for the people, and you are definitely known as and spoken of as the people's rep. So thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And before we let you go, would you come back on in the future and talk a little bit more about House Bill 4210?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that these issues are going to continue to be relevant during this campaign cycle. Certainly, if Michigan Legalized makes it on the ballot, there's going to be a lot to talk about with regards to that measure. But also, I'd love to take the opportunity later in the year to come out and talk to your listeners about all of the important local elections and state-level elections that they're going to be facing this November, and to encourage them to make sure that they talk to their prospective legislative officers and their prospective local officials about this issue and others that are important to them. As elected officials, we benefit greatly from the relationships we have with those we serve, and the more we can do to build those relationships going both ways, the better result we're going to get out of our government.
Absolutely, absolutely. And once again, we just want to thank you for coming on. And like I said earlier in the show, you are one of the only, if not the only,
you are the only one
to get back to us. And that's a big deal. Just says a lot about how much you care about people. You know, being able to get in touch with you and you explaining issues, because we were unsure about what the thought process were on some of these House bills. So you cleared that stuff right up for us.
And we gave the opposition plenty of opportunity to come on, as Tyler said, Rep. Irwin. He called everyone, and my local rep, we called him twice, and he never even called us back. So that was really disappointing. But you're the only one who called back, and you are always invited on the show. And also, your staff has done a great job.
Oh, absolutely. I have to say, your clerk, he honestly was one of the best I could ever even explain. What was his name again? Just so I can say it real quick.
Jelani McGadney. He's a very charming individual and does a great job helping me there in Lansing. And, you know, I know that the speaker, Representative Cotter, probably has a more busy schedule than I do. But, you know, please continue to try to talk to them about these issues. It's important stuff. Criminal justice reform, how we exercise the government's awesome power to be able to, you know, arrest people and take away their liberties. This is important stuff, and our elected officials need to hear more about it from people who care. And also, I would point out that the more we talk about these issues specifically, the more we talk about the war on drugs, the more it becomes impossible to continue our current policy. So please continue talking about it. I think that's what's creating change. I think that's why you're seeing public opinion moving so quickly on cannabis legalization, because the more people talk about it, the more people realize, wait a second, we have alcohol available, which is demonstrably more dangerous and odious in every way than cannabis. How is it that we can have this incongruent and senseless situation where we regulate alcohol so in the way we do, and then we're so much more strict with this other substance that is just clearly less dangerous, you know, non-addictive, can't kill you. Can't we get some sense injected into how we regulate these different substances and regulate them according to their potential harms?
Right. I mean, I think that makes perfect sense. And before we let you go here, we know you have to hop off here. Do you want to speak a little bit about if you have any idea what your future plans are going to be? I mean, I know you said this is your last term. I'm sure the people are a little worried about what's going to happen once you leave office there.
Well, that's too kind, but I would Ditto. Say that I've been very, very fortunate in my life that I've been able to maintain a certain philosophy, and I haven't been burned by it yet. And the philosophy is this, that I just try to do right by today and right now, you know, and not worry too much about what's happening years off in the future, because I see so many public servants who are looking up the road of their future success and they're stumbling over the rocks that are right at their feet. And so, you know, I'm just going to try to do a great job being a state rep for the next 6 months, try not to get distracted by what comes next, because that'll take away from what I'm doing now. And then hopefully the future will take care of itself. So like I said, I've been fortunate in the past to not be disabused of that philosophy, so I'm going to hold on to it as long as I can.
If any of our listeners want to contact you and thank you for, you know, coming on the show and doing what you've done for the people, how can they get a hold of you?
You know, I would say the best place, the easiest place to connect with me would be on Facebook or Twitter. Jeff Irwin on Facebook or Jeff M. Irwin on Twitter. I'm not as active on LinkedIn, but I stay pretty active on both Facebook and Twitter. You know, try to use that as a couple channels to get the message out about what we're doing in Lansing and how we could do things differently and better in state government.
Well, again, on behalf of the Todd L. Levitt Law Show,
myself, I mean, absolutely,
Tyler Webb,
Nikki
Morissette, and all the listeners of, 32, 34 counties throughout the state of Michigan and the entire state, thank you for everything you have done and you are doing, and Rep. Irwin for coming on the show. And you are absolutely invited back on the show anytime, and we'll definitely contact you and have you back on.
Great. Well, I appreciate the opportunity, and let's keep talking about public affairs so that we can elect the best possible team of folks to go to Lansing and represent our values.
Absolutely.
Sounds great. Take care.
All right. Take care.
Take care. Yep. Rep. Irwin, are you still there? Oh, we hung up? Okay. Okay, so we still got more time, right?
Yeah, you got like 5 minutes.
Okay. Do you want to come on at some point?
You guys got a lot to talk
about. Yeah, I
want
to talk about. Yeah, you ready? So.
Do you want me to say it? Well, that was Jeff Irwin. Todd, what a great. Okay.
Yeah, what an honor.
It was an honor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Todd, wow, what an honor it was to have Jeff on there. He provided us a lot of information.
You know, Rep. Irwin out of the 53rd District Court, Ann Arbor, Michigan, has truly been the one elected official who, when he went to office, not only did he do what he said he was going to do, but he represented the people. Not his interest, not corporations' interest, but the people's interest. You know, not just those of Ann Arbor.
I love what he said at the end there where he says, I'm not going to worry about what I'm doing in the future. Let me just do my job for the next 6 months. And, you know, that's commendable, don't you think?
It's amazing. And, you know, we mentioned a number of times that we contacted our local rep. And I will say he's a personal friend of mine, and he has done a great job.
I agree.
He's the Speaker of the House.
I wish he would have called me back. But
he's done a great job. It doesn't mean I always agree with everything he has done, but I have supported him throughout this show, and I'll continue to support Kevin Cotter as long as he's in office. So, and he's done a great job. He really has for the people of Isabella County.
Absolutely. I think we learned a lot about what's going to be happening in the future regarding the MI Legalize It and the lawsuit coming forth. I think our listeners kind of have a good idea now of where this initiative is headed.
Over the past three shows, we had Brandon McQueen on, who's going to come back on the show, attorney Barton Morris. And you'll be on every show, which I'm pretty excited about.
I hope the listeners are as well.
And if you want to follow Rep. Irwin, he said feel free to follow him on Facebook.
Yep, follow him on Facebook and Twitter. His Twitter is Jeff M. Irwin, and his Facebook is just Jeff Irwin. And you know, I think he would love to connect with the listeners and let them know what your guys' opinions are.
And like he said, it's important to speak to your elected officials. And here's what I'm going to say. Every single listener out there, you can run for office.
Well, he did it in his undergrad. I'm starting to consider doing that now as well. Why did I think of that?
So we had a great show, folks. And if you're just tuning in, you missed.
What took you so long?
If you want to hear the show, you want to hear everything that House of Representative Jeff Irwin out of Ann Arbor 53rd District had to say in regards to, you know, how the House bills, 4209, 4210, and everything else that has taken place and is currently taking place, you can tune in on iTunes to the Todd Levitt Law Show or Podbean or SoundCloud.
You absolutely should do that. We have had a great number of shows over the last few weeks. And another thing I should suggest, if you guys want to hear from our representative, you guys call his office and tell him to come on our show, because I know we want him on here. So, listeners, call Kevin Cotter and tell him you want him on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, because we want him on here.
Come on, Kevin. We know you listen on the way to church. Come on. Come on the show. You're invited. But
it'd be an honor. It'd be an honor to have you.
Yeah, it would be an honor to have you. Tyler, on behalf of Nikki Morissette, who's sitting right across from you, Nikki, what a great show.
It was a great show.
I mean, it's been It's been 3 weeks of, you know, start to finish shows. And guess what? We're not stopping there. We have week after week, show after show, we're gonna bring the heat.
Yes, you are.
We're bringing the heat, yep. And we set a standard, and it's going to keep going higher and higher.
Yes, it is.
And I want to thank, again, I can't thank Rep. Irwin enough. He was so busy, and yet he still took the time to come on this show. It's not even in his district. And
I know.
He came on the show.
And he had such great information, and is great.
And he said he would be happy to come back on the show.
Yes.
So, hey, what a great show. And, again, Tyler, thanks for coming on the show. Tyler Webb is my senior law clerk on the way to law school, and then he'll be back working for Levitt Law Firm. We'll change the name to Levitt and Webb PC, baby. But, Tyler, say hi to the family, and have a great Sunday afternoon.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. I told my mom and dad I'd give them a plug this weekend. So, Britt and Laura, thank you. Hope you guys are all doing well back in Ypsilanti downstate.
Big shout out to his family. And, again, this show is dedicated to the memory of Natalie Wilds, and we will always keep her in our thoughts and prayers and her family. And get out to North Shore Lounge today from 1 to 5 p.m., and there's a nice silent auction and a benefit for the family, and very sad, very sad. But look, hey, we'll be back same time, same place next week, 98.5 UPS, 9 to 10 a.m. Catch us on iTunes. Rep. Irwin, thank you so much. Without further ado, I'm not just a litigator, I'm an advocator.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show is brought to you by Chad Melly Well Drilling in Rosebush, Clark Modular Homes, your most experienced and trusted builder in Mount Pleasant, Harrison Power Sports, Central Michigan's newest full-line Arctic Cat dealer, the Sour Apple Smoke Shop in Mount Pleasant, the best damn smoke shop around, and Dr. Robert Townsend for 97th District. Send a doctor to the house.